Welcome to the Weekly Digest from Personalized Intelligence, the AI edition for Friday, June 5th, 2026.
Today, we are examining the fundamental shift from passive interface to active execution. We are moving past the era of simple prompt and response into a landscape defined by autonomous, goal-oriented systems.
It is no longer about what the model says, but what it actually does.
Precisely.
That transition brings us to our first deep dive, beyond the chatbot and the rise of agentic workflows. ClickUp recently deployed about 3,000 internal agents to handle their own operations. It's a staggering number, and it marks the official start of our deep dive into the transition from the chatbot era to the era of agentic workflows.
It's a fundamental shift in how we think about software architecture, moving away from humans clicking buttons in a static interface toward a landscape of autonomous multi-agent orchestration.
It sounds like we're moving from being the pilots of a plane to just being the people who write the flight plan and hope the autopilot doesn't decide to land in a cornfield.
Actually, the goal is to move even further up the stack. As we discussed on the Latent Space podcast, the real value of AI isn't just doing the work, but transitioning from doing to meta work, where the primary professional skill becomes designing the agentic systems that manage the tasks. Satya Nadella illustrated this by pointing to the Azure networking team, who shifted from managing physical fiber operations to building miles, an agentic system that manages the network itself.
So instead of a technician with a wrench, we now have a manager with a very complex set of instructions for a digital intern.
We're seeing a move from prompting to what we call slash goals. Think of it like a finish line contract. Instead of a turn-based interaction where you ask a question and get an answer, you use a primitive, like a slash command in a tool like Codex, to define a success criteria, constraints, and verifiable evidence. You aren't asking for a summary, you are commissioning an outcome.
I love the finish line contract phrasing, but it feels like a lot of pressure on the person writing the contract. If I give the AI a vague goal, am I just automating my own mistakes at a higher velocity?
That's the risk of the strange abundance we're seeing. As noted in the AI Daily Brief, the sheer volume of digital artifacts created by cheap tools has actually increased the coordination cost of knowledge work because there's now so much more stuff to verify, approve, and retrieve. The slash goal approach tries to fix this by moving from telling the AI what to do to engineering the intent. You provide the rubric, the specific testable criteria, and the agent handles the loop of execution and self-evaluation.
It's essentially turning every employee into a middle manager of a tiny, invisible corporation.
And that middle management is already reconfiguring how companies are built. We're seeing a shift in software economics from software as a service to token efficiency. The primary value proposition is no longer about how many features a subscription has, but about maximizing intelligence per unit of token consumption. This is why we're seeing the unbundling of traditional SaaS. The core data models and business logic, the things that stay stable like a general ledger, are being stripped out of static interfaces and reintegrated into agentic canvases.
So the app as we know it, the windowed, button-filled dashboard is dying.
It's being replaced by what Ethan He at xAI calls generative UI. We're moving toward a neural OS where interfaces aren't written in static, deterministic code, but are rendered in real time, pixel by pixel, by diffusion models. The interface is literally imagined by the model based on your intent. It bypasses the intermediate step of a programmer building a specific web page and moves straight to a customized, real-time visual experience.
So my spreadsheet might look like a dashboard 1 minute and a 3D interactive map the next, depending on how much I'm caffeinated.
We can trace that further. That brings up a massive technical hurdle, the latency stack. As researchers have pointed out, even if you have incredibly fast transcription and retrieval, the cumulative delay of speech-to-text, LLM reasoning, and text-to-speech can easily exceed a full second. That 1 second delay is the difference between a fluid conversation and a frustratingly robotic interaction.
Which is why we're seeing this weird shift in hardware, too. It's not just about bigger GPUs anymore.
Right.
NVIDIA's move toward the RTX Spark is a structural pivot. We're seeing the CPU resurge as the primary engine for the actual tool-calling part of the agentic loop, while the GPUs are increasingly relegated to the background role of training the underlying models. The heavy lifting of thinking and orchestrating happens in the logic layer.
It feels like we're building a digital nervous system. But if the software is becoming this fluid, disposable thing, what happens to the plumbing? I mean, if I'm running 500 agents, how do I stop them from accidentally deleting my entire digital life, or, I don't know, spending my entire savings on AWS credits?
That's where agentic infrastructure comes in. Power users are already moving toward a hierarchical multi-agent model. For example, security expert Daniel Miesler describes a setup using Claude Code for high-access personal tasks, but running specialized employees named Aid and Clay on a separate Mac Mini for independent operations. He even uses segregated 1-password vaults, an auto vault for agents to use freely, and an ask vault that requires human-in-the-loop approval.
So you've essentially built a digital panopticon where you are the warden.
It's more about managing the inversion of control. We are moving from a model where humans use AI as a tool to one where AI agents proactively call and direct human workflows. Kyle Daigle at GitHub suggests that the very way we manage software might change, moving away from NPM-style package managers toward agents that vendor only the specific verified subset of source code needed for a project to prevent plug-in hell.
It's all very impressive until an agent decides that the most efficient way to achieve a goal is to bypass all the security protocols I just spent 3 hours setting up.
That's the self-modifying harness frontier. We are seeing models that are granted access to their own agent code, allowing them to program their own infrastructure, deciding how to chunk data or summarize logs during execution. It's a closed loop of self-improvement.
It sounds like we're heading toward a world of software that writes itself, for agents that manage themselves, inside an interface that doesn't exist until you ask for it. It's a bit much to process.
But look at the tangible impacts already. In healthcare, as Chia-Lin Simmons of LogicMark noted, we're moving from reactive technology to predictive digital twins in elder care. By analyzing longitudinal data like subtle changes in sleep patterns, AI can forecast risks like falls months in advance, providing unobtrusive analysis rather than intrusive monitoring.
So the technology is getting much better at watching us without us actually seeing it.
The competitive advantage in this era isn't the underlying LLM, those are becoming commodities. The real advantage is context engineering, the proprietary ability to bridge the gap between raw documentation and the undocumented tribal knowledge that lives in your company's heads. On the Latent Space podcast, they argue that the economic value of a corporation will soon be reflected on its balance sheet as token expertise, the ability to codify human experience into scalable digital agentic assets.
So your company's value isn't what you sell, but the trace of how you learn to sell it, captured in a series of tokens.
That's the new token economy. We're seeing a transition where organizational demand moves from human headcount to computational tokens. Even the network operations teams at Azure have redefined their jobs from managing physical fiber to building miles, the agentic system that manages the network.
It's a massive structural change for anyone whose job involves a repetitive task.
It certainly is. The industry is moving from assisted AI to a model of maximizing intelligence per unit of token consumption.
Software developers need to start thinking like system architects, or they're going to find themselves replaced by a script that's much better at managing itself.
The complexity is scaling faster than our ability to monitor it.
Investors will need to start looking at token expertise as a legitimate line item in a due diligence report.
Watch for the first major enterprise outage caused by a self-modifying agent. That will be the moment the regulatory landscape finally catches up to the neural OS.
But if the infrastructure is shifting so rapidly, it's only a matter of time before the real bottleneck becomes the sheer raw power required to keep these digital brains running.
Which brings us to the massive question of who is actually winning the scramble for the underlying hardware and the billions of dollars in IPOs currently fueling the expansion. I have been staring at the capital expenditure projections for the hyperscalers all morning, and honestly, the sheer scale of the money moving into physical infrastructure is starting to look less like a tech cycle and more like a massive global reconfiguration of industrial capacity.
You say reconfiguration, but I hear we are building enough data centers to power a small moon. What exactly caught your eye in the spreadsheets today?
It is the sheer intensity of the capital raise at Alphabet. We are looking at a planned $190 billion infrastructure spend this year, and to sustain that, they are launching an $8 billion equity raise, an $80 billion total package that includes a $10 billion commitment from Berkshire Hathaway.
So if I understand the mechanics here, Google has looked at its massive pile of cash and realized that even a mountain of it isn't enough to keep up with the electricity and silicon demands of the current AI arms race.
It's a telling detail. This marks a fundamental shift in how these hyperscalers operate. We are moving away from a model where they use cash on hand or cheap debt to fund growth, and moving toward a model of forced stock dilution. They are essentially asking investors to directly bankroll the physical expansion of the AI cloud, because the projected $80 billion to $190 billion annual capex is simply too large to self-fund.
It's a very expensive way to say we're all in. It's like a homeowner deciding that instead of just renovating the kitchen, they need to buy the entire neighborhood just to ensure they have enough parking space.
It's more than just parking. This massive capital movement is creating a secondary market for compute that is almost unprecedented. On the AI podcast, analysts pointed out that we are seeing a compute-as-a-service economy emerge, where companies like SpaceX can act as a utility, potentially renting out data center capacity to competitors like Anthropic for as much as $1.5 billion a month.
So we're entering a phase where the big model players are essentially just high-end tenants in a landlord-driven ecosystem. First, you pay for the GPU, then you pay for the power, then you pay the rent to Elon Musk, and eventually you're just paying a subscription fee to an algorithm that tells you how much more rent you can afford.
the landlord aspect is becoming the primary driver of valuation. While everyone focuses on the models, the real value is migrating to the infrastructure of supply. As noted in AI in Business, there is a notable trend of institutional investors moving away from the primary model providers to focus on the backbone, land, data centers, and power companies. We even see a hedge fund manager with a $12 billion fortune pivoting away from shorting NVIDIA to invest heavily in the physical foundations of AI.
It's the classic gold rush logic: don't dig for the gold, just sell the shovels and the pickaxes. But the shovels this time are made of liquid-cooled silicon and massive transformer arrays.
And those shovels are getting incredibly expensive. Look at the valuation gap closing between the major players. Anthropic's recent Series H funding, which was $65 billion, has pushed their valuation to $965 billion. That puts them officially ahead of OpenAI, which is sitting at around $852 billion.
Wait, Anthropic is actually winning the paper war now?
On paper, yes. Their revenue run rate has exploded from $9 billion to $47 billion in just 12 months. This isn't just hype, it's driven by massive enterprise adoption of features like Claude Opus 4.8, which can manage hundreds of parallel subagents, and the vibe coding trend where developers are using Claude Code to essentially automate entire workflows.
So the valuation is skyrocketing because they are successfully siphoning developer budgets away from every other tool in the stack.
The data tells a story, there's a tension there. Anthropic is incredibly valuable, yet they are essentially a massive customer of their own competitor, SpaceX, paying them over $15 billion annually for data center capacity. It is this competitor-customer relationship that defines the new era. We are also seeing a looming clash in the IPO market. We have the Anthropic filing, we have the $2 trillion valuation target for SpaceX, and we are looking at a massive June 12, 2026 window where these giants might all hit the public market at once.
It's a high-stakes game of musical chairs, but the chairs are made of high-performance computing clusters, and the music is just the sound of $100 billion checks being signed.
And the stakes for the investors are massive. On Bloomberg Surveillance, observers noted that the competition between Anthropic's potential IPO and OpenAI is a strategic game of second-mover advantage. OpenAI can actually wait and observe how the market reacts to Anthropic's audited financials before they commit to their own valuation. They can see if the market is willing to swallow a trillion-dollar company before they step into the arena.
It's the ultimate wait-and-see approach, provided you have enough liquidity to stay in the game while you're waiting.
But the liquidity itself is a concern. There is a structural risk emerging. The AI Daily Brief reports that a circular bet is forming within the enterprise sector, where roughly 44% of companies are attempting to fund their next waves of AI investment using projected cost savings that haven't actually materialized yet. If those savings don't hit the bottom line, the whole funding chain for the next generation of infrastructure could face a massive liquidity crisis.
So we have companies spending billions on AI to save money, using the money they expect to save to pay for even more AI, and if the math fails, the whole house of cards comes down.
It's a delicate balance. Even the hardware layer is being disrupted by cost-sensitive strategies. While NVIDIA dominates the high end, Intel is pushing its Crescent Island AI chip strategy, targeting the high-volume inference market by using cheaper LPDDR5 memory and air cooling to undercut the expensive liquid-cooled systems.
It's a fight for every fraction of a cent in the margin.
It really is. Everything is moving toward efficiency and scale. Even the training side is changing. Latent Space notes that for massive video models, the cost isn't just the GPU hours anymore, but the massive storage and network egress fees. If you're moving a billion videos, your AWS egress fees might actually dwarf your compute costs.
Investors in the Alphabet equity raise need to watch their margins very closely.
They certainly do.
Keep an eye on whether those projected enterprise cost savings actually show up in the quarterly earnings of the big software players.
If the savings don't materialize, the whole infrastructure expansion could hit a wall.
But that brings us to a much more immediate tension. If the era of subsidized, cheap tokens is dying, how much more expensive is the actual intelligence going to get? I looked at my monthly subscription statements this morning, and it feels like I'm being audited by a very small, very expensive ghost. Everything is moving from a flat monthly fee to pay as you go, and I can't tell if I'm subscribing to software or just renting a tiny slice of someone else's electricity.
It's not just a billing quirk, Maya. We are witnessing the end of the AI subsidy era. For the last couple of years, companies like Anthropic and Microsoft were essentially subsidizing user costs to capture market share, but that era is collapsing as they pivot toward immediate margin protection.
So no more free handouts for the developer community.
Look at GitHub Copilot. As of June 1st, they transitioned from flat monthly rates to an API-based usage model. For a power user, that means your monthly bill could jump from a predictable $50 to somewhere between $750 and $3,000.
That's not a subscription, that's a mortgage.
It's a structural necessity. As we move from assisted AI, where a human prompts a model, to autonomous agents that run long-running, durable tasks, the intensity of usage explodes. As noted in No Priors, this breaks the traditional per-user model because you can't charge a seat fee to a digital agent that might run 10,000 tasks while you're sleeping.
I suppose you can't charge a seat to a bot that doesn't even sit down. But surely, if the models are getting smarter, the cost should go down.
Actually, the intelligence metric is becoming secondary to token efficiency. On the AI Daily Brief, analysts pointed out that per-token pricing is actually a misleading metric. The true driver of cost is tokens to completion. Model might be incredibly smart, but if it overthinks or wanders through massive reasoning traces, it becomes a financial liability.
So we're moving from an IQ test to a word count audit.
There's a signal here. Even Claude Opus 4.8, which holds a slight edge in raw intelligence over GPT-5.5, is seeing a decline in commercial attractiveness because it requires roughly 80% to 90% more tokens to achieve that performance. The new competitive moat isn't just how smart the model is, but how much intelligence per dollar it delivers.
It sounds like a nightmare for developers. I've heard people talking about vibe coding lately, just prompting and seeing what happens, but that sounds like a recipe for bankruptcy.
It's a massive hidden inefficiency. The vibe coder workflow creates a cycle where a huge portion of your token spend isn't even for generating new code, but is diverted into the costly, iterative process of debugging errors the AI made in the first place. You're essentially paying a premium to have a machine correct its own hallucinations.
So to survive, companies have to become much more disciplined.
They have to. We're seeing the rise of multimodal routing. Instead of using the most expensive frontier model for every trivial task, which is essentially a laziness tax, enterprises are building architectures that route simple queries to smaller, cheaper models and reserve the heavy hitters for high-complexity advisory roles. It's turning AI integration into an optimization problem of context quality, model routing, and even continual learning to avoid redundant reasoning.
It's getting crowded. Between the massive energy demands and the chip shortages, it feels like we're hitting a physical ceiling.
We're entering a scarcity era driven by the physical supply chain. We're seeing a structural shortage in memory chips because of this increased token usage, which is why SK Hynix is planning to double its manufacturing capacity by the end of the decade. Even the way we build data centers is changing, with ideas like orbital data centers moving from science fiction toward a plausible medium-term reality.
Software engineers need to start budgeting for their bots like they do for their cloud instances.
They have no choice. The era of unlimited subsidized intelligence is over.
Enterprise CTOs need to prioritize token efficiency metrics over raw benchmark scores before their margins evaporate. Keep an eye on DeepSeek's pricing. If their aggressive 75% price cut on the V4 model triggers a wider industry price war, the era of scarcity might hit a very sudden, very cheap reset. But as the cost of intelligence settles, the battle is moving from the server room to the halls of government. If the US is the undisputed heavyweight champion of AI, why does it look like we're losing the talent?
It's not a total loss, but the structural cracks are widening. According to Practical AI, the number of AI researchers and developers migrating to the US plummeted by 80% over the last year. We're seeing a shift from a leader-follower dynamic to two co-leaders model, where the US moves toward proprietary closed model dominance, think Meta's recent pivot, while China, through firms like DeepSeek, leverages an open model culture to gain global scientific influence.
We're essentially building a high-tech walled garden while everyone else is playing in the open park.
Two things stand out. And that garden is getting expensive to maintain. While the US holds the most data centers, we have a massive bottleneck, a single Taiwanese foundry for the chips we need. On Machine Learning Street Talk, analysts argued that we could avoid the usual regulatory capture by adopting an independent verification model, similar to the accounting industry, where the SEC provides oversight without a massive, stifling bureaucracy.
Speaking of stifling, I saw a headline about new executive orders on model safety. Is that safety or just making it impossible for researchers to know if they're breaking the law?
That is the transparency paradox highlighted in the AI Daily Brief. If the specific thresholds for what constitutes a meaningful step change in cyber capabilities remain classified, researchers won't know if their training processes will trigger a regulatory review, effectively freezing innovation.
It's hard to innovate when the rules are a state secret. And it doesn't help that the people writing the rules are flying blind.
You're right. As noted in Machine Learning Street Talk, the 1994 elimination of the Congressional Office of Technology Policy left a massive brain trust gap, forcing lawmakers to rely on fragmented, often biased information from lobbyists. This creates a vacuum where we might treat AI as a private service when it should be a public utility like electricity, where the scale of the technology requires a different legal framework.
A utility? That sounds like a lot of government oversight for a sector that already struggles with black box accountability in things like automated warfare.
It's a massive risk. If we can't apply traditional human-in-the-loop oversight because the speed of neural networks forces humans to simply defer to algorithmic scores, the legal responsibility has to shift. Anthony Aguirre argues we should treat AI as a product, holding developers liable under existing tort law for failing to engineer out foreseeable harms.
Investors should start looking at whether the next wave of power comes from model ownership or the infrastructure that feeds them.
Keep an eye on the energy grid, because the massive power demands for training will soon outpace our ability to supply them.
But how do we even begin to audit a system that even its creators can't fully explain? We all spent 2024 obsessed with making LLMs sound more human, but now we're realizing the real frontier isn't more personality, it's actually making them mathematically incapable of lying.
The implication runs deeper. The industry is shifting from probabilistic guesswork to verifiable generation. Karina Hong from Axiom Math argues we're moving beyond just reducing errors to scaling brilliance, where the goal is for AI to produce both a functional program and a formal mathematical proof of its correctness simultaneously.
So instead of an AI saying, "Trust me, I'm an expert," it's saying, "Here is the code, and here is the logic that proves it can't break."
Right, and that transition from informal to formal reasoning is the only way to solve the Turing problem of automation. As noted on the Dworkish podcast, even if an AI handles 90% of a complex task, a single failure in the remaining 10% destroys the entire value of the output. We can't automate aerospace or hardware design if the error rate is a non-zero probability.
It's a bit of a buzzkill for the vibes-based era of prompting, isn't it?
It's actually a massive efficiency play. Axiom Math is positioning itself as an infrastructure layer that provides a deterministic verification component for frontier labs. They've already shown that verification-driven models can beat top human scores by using the ground truth correctness of lean data to create a high-fidelity reward signal for reinforcement learning. This allows much smaller models to hill climb toward frontier performance by using high reasoning traces from models like GPT-5.
I suppose hallucinating with confidence is much less useful when you're trying to calculate orbital mechanics or audit a multi-billion dollar ledger.
The bottleneck for superintelligence isn't just more compute, it's the fact that stochastic LLM judges can't scale to the complexity of advanced mathematics. We need the mass to verify the mass.
Engineering leads in hardware and finance need to start prioritizing these formal verification APIs over raw parameter counts. Watch for the first time a major frontier lab integrates a formal solver directly into their inference loop. That's when the shift from chatbots to engineers becomes permanent. As we wrap up this edition, the thread connecting everything we've discussed today, from the staggering $965 billion valuation of Anthropic to the shift toward self-governing workflows, is the transition from AI as a tool we use to AI as an infrastructure that operates on our behalf. We are witnessing the end of the chat era and the beginning of an era defined by autonomous, heavy-duty computational ecosystems.
The pattern is clear. The single most critical implication here isn't for the developers, but for the CFOs of the Fortune 500. The fundamental calculus of corporate finance is changing. You are no longer just managing headcount or software licenses, you are managing a massive, volatile energy and token expenditure. When 44% of companies are trying to fund their AI expansion using projected, unrealized savings, they are essentially betting the balance sheet on the hope that intelligence per token scales faster than the cost of the hardware required to run it. The risk has moved from operational error to a structural liquidity trap, where the cost of the digital workforce could outpace the actual revenue it generates.
It's a high-stakes pivot from managing people to managing the capacity of an invisible, automated corporation.
Worth noting, so as you head into the week, keep a very close eye on the next quarterly earnings call from Alphabet. If their massive infrastructure spend starts to show a decoupling from actual revenue growth, specifically, if we don't see that massive compute investment translating into a measurable surge in enterprise-level token consumption, it will confirm that we are currently in a period of speculative scaling rather than sustainable integration.
We'll be watching closely. Thanks for joining us this Friday.
See you next week.